Well, several weeks ago, we started a series through the book of James, and we started going through the book expositionally. And when I started the book, as I introduced it, I went through a series of topics. And if you remember, I shared with you how the book of James is a how-to book. It's a how-to book, and I encourage you to read it, five chapters. There's a lot of information on how to be a mature Christian. And so I encourage you, don't just read it with me, read it on your own. Study it on your own. You'll be blessed. Some of the topics that we already covered were how to triumph over trials. Mature Christians, you know when you are a mature Christian because you have victory over trials. Trials do not have the victory over you. There was years before, earlier on in my walk, where I was always getting beat up and letting the trials take me down. But then I learned that trials are not intended. God does not allow trials in my life to tear me down, to bring me down, but on the contrary, to build me up. But I had to respond to them properly. And so the book of James teaches you how to respond to trials properly. And then we looked at how to triumph over social status, or rather how to view one's social status was a topic that we covered, or how to view temptation correctly, and then how to overcome temptation. We also looked at how to not be partial. God does not want his children to be partial. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at how to identify genuine faith. It seems like when it comes to the topic of believing in God, everybody believes in God, almost everybody. Well, some of you in your minds are thinking, well, not today's day. Many people are atheists. And that's true. But generally speaking, when you talk to people about God, generally speaking, many people say, oh, I believe, I have faith. I'm a person of faith. Well, how do you know if that is genuine faith? Well, James tells us how to identify what genuine faith is. But before we get into the text, I want you to look at, number one, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And then when you're at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that's what we're going to be looking at. I'll remind you later so you don't have to worry about it. Then go to Matthew chapter 7. Leave a finger in Matthew chapter 5 or a bookmark. And then go to chapter 7. And then go to chapter 12 of Matthew. And remember, all the things that we're going to be reading are connected to this question, how do I identify genuine faith? And so if you're at Matthew chapter 12 with your fingers in other chapters, as I mentioned, we'll start with Matthew chapter 12. We're looking at verse 48. And we're skipping 49, and then we're going to look at verse 50. We're not going to be looking at all the verses. I'm just going to pull out a couple things from verse 48 and 50. And this is Jesus speaking, and in 48 he says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And in verse 50, he answers that question. And he says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus again speaking. He says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And now Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, you don't have to answer this out loud, but what do these three statements of Christ have in common? Now, you can take these three statements and you can put them into your own words. I'm going to put them into these words. If you want to be a part of my family, you have to do something. Jesus speaking. And what is it that you have to do if you want to be a part of my family? The will of my Father. If you want to be a part of my kingdom, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But if you want to be a part of my kingdom, you have to do something. What is it that you have to do? The will of my Father. Also, if you want men to glorify my Father, you have to do something. What do you have to do? He said, good works. Good works. Hey, if I were to funnel down these statements to one direction of application and into a single word, I would reduce it or reduce these statements down to the word action. The thing that each of those statements of Christ have in common is that there is something that needs to be done in order for this. There has to be doing, action. He said, whoever does, he that does, and he said, good works. The point, faith is action. Now, don't get me wrong. Faith stands alone. Faith has its own definition. The definition of faith is not action, but faith is action, if you understand what I'm saying. And one cannot be separated from the other. You cannot have genuine faith without action. Now, if I were to ask the question, how can genuine faith be identified? The answer would be through one's actions. Yours and my actions will validate whether we have genuine faith or not. Words are fluff. Actions have substance. James really explains this in great detail. And so you can turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2. Tonight we're going to be covering verses 14 through 26, Lord willing. And in verse 14, James, he starts with a question. And the question is this. He says, what does it profit, my brethren? He wrote this to, no doubt, to a church. I know it says to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, but he was writing to the church. He was writing to Jewish believers. That was in the first century, but his words are still very much relevant for us in the 21st century. He's writing to all believers, so to speak. And so he says, hey, what benefit, what does it profit if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And so he starts out by asking this question. Faith, if it doesn't have any visible marks, if there is nothing to identify a profession, There's no action to validate or back up a person's profession. And that's what he says. If someone says, that's a profession, I say I have faith. I say I believe God. I believe in God. But if there is no actions to validate that, what benefit, what is there any profit in that kind of faith? Can that kind of faith save? The answer is no. Wait a minute, Pastor. I thought it's only by faith you can be saved. We'll talk about that in a little while. James says at the end of this chapter, his last statement is, faith without works is dead. There is such a thing as dead faith. Not living faith. Not genuine faith. There is such a thing as not saving faith. And so here he gives an example, and he gives a few examples. And his main point is make pretend someone is telling you, oh, I'm a follower of Christ. I believe in Christ. I believe in God. Someone's telling you that. And yet their actions show something very, very contrary. There's going to be a big question mark. Wouldn't there be a big question mark? At least in some of your minds, there'll be a question mark. Now, I know that there are true believers that can go through seasons where they are maybe backslidden. But one thing I believe is that when a person's backslidden and you confront them, they will admit that they're wrong. They will admit that they're not living right. They will even, some of them will even say, hey, will you pray for me? I know I'm not doing what I should be doing. But there's something inside of them that there's still that conviction. But when a person says, I have faith, and they can live like the devil, something is definitely wrong with that profession. The profession and the lifestyle are two polar opposites. And so, faith like that is of no value. And again, now he uses this example, and he says in verse 15, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food. So he uses this hypothetical scenario, and he asks this question, if someone who is a fellow believer, and they are in genuine, desperate need for just the necessities of life, the bare necessities of life. This is not a person. He's using an example. He's not explaining a person who is a manipulator, a person who looks for handouts, a person who's lazy and just wants other people in the church to pay their bills and take care of them. When they can do it, they can do it on their own. They're just lazy. They're looking for, they're freeloaders. There are people like that in the church. Paul said, if a man don't work, a man shouldn't eat. If a person's going to come and just try to be a mooch, then don't cater to people like that. But that's not what James is addressing. James is addressing the idea of someone who has a real, legitimate need. He talks about clothing. They don't have clothing, probably not saying naked. I mean, how many people are going to go to church naked? Probably means that they don't have the adequate clothing for the season, you know, that kind of concept. Back in the first century, the tunic, their clothing, that was huge. That was like a commodity to them. and to have their coat. Remember that that one rule that if you borrowed someone's coat, you had to give it back to them before the night was over, because that was their covering to keep them warm. And so he says, if there is someone who really is down and out, and you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does that profit? What kind of faith is that? That's not biblical faith. When you see your brother or your sister in real, real, real need, and you can meet that need, and you just say, hey, God bless you. I'll be praying for you, brother. God bless you. You call that faith? That's not faith. He says, thus, verse 17. Well, let me finish reading that. Depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. Again, what does it profit? Thus, also faith by itself. So he uses that as an illustration to explain, to help bring clarity to what he's saying. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Now, chances are, James is taking, although he's writing this, he's taking and putting himself like as if he's the third person. It's like as if James is saying, you have faith. Even though he says someone will say, but it's like he, again, is making himself the third person, and he is the one saying, you have faith and I have works, James speaking. And then he says, well, show me your faith without your works. How in the world is anybody going to see somebody, if they have genuine faith, if there's nothing, no marks, no sign, nothing visible? He says, you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you that I am a true believer in Christ, and I truly have received his doctrines, his teachings, because his teachings have impacted my life and I have purposed in my heart to obey them. And as a result of obeying his teachings, my life is different now. I used to be a fornicator. But then Christ came and I understood the message. I received the gospel message of Jesus Christ and I repented. I said, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. This is wrong. And I changed because of the teachings of Christ. And so now I went from being a fornicator to doing what's right in God's eyes. Getting married, living with one woman in holy matrimony, and having no eyes for other women or no relationships with other women, no secret pornography on the internet. My life has changed because of the teachings of Christ. No flirting with other women. I'm just using this as an example, but there's other things too. I used to be a person that was not too merciful to other people. To some degree, I can care less. I care less about you. All I cared about was me. And I'm sure there was no one else in this room that was like that. And then Christ came in. Christ's teachings came in. And I started to apply his teachings and realize that God loves me. He forgave me for all the evil things that I have done. He forgave me. And now I want to show that kindness and that mercy to other people. And when people hurt me, people did me wrong, instead of retaliating, I responded with mercy. That's an evidence. Those are actions that show that you really believe the message of Jesus Christ. Your actions show that you believe. Okay, I said that twice for emphasis. I used to be an addict. But then the teachings of Christ came and I changed because of the work of God's Spirit. And he set me free from addiction. I used to be greedy. Now instead of being greedy, I've become more generous because of Christ. I'm talking about myself, but that could be many of you here. Your life has changed. That's the most beautiful witness of Christ's influence, is a changed life. Remember what Jesus said, let your light so shine. What is the light that you have now? If you say Christ, you're right. But specifically, the light that you have is the Word of God, the teachings of Christ. That's what he said, he who does the will of my Father. That's the light that we have, is the teachings of Scripture being worked out in our lives. Remember, Paul said, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Why? Because it is God who worked in you. God worked in you. God did something inside of you. And if you truly have genuine faith, that cannot be contained. You cannot remain the same. That is going to be worked out. You're going to change. You're going to reflect God's word. And that's why he says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So he says, hey, I will show you my faith by my works. I don't know what James was like before. Was James a greedy individual before? Was he just a religious individual? But when it came to real works for Christ, we don't know. But he says, look, I can show you. Maybe he could say, look at the lives that have come to Christ because of Christ's impact upon me. I used to be a foul mouth, James perhaps could have said, but he's cleaned my mouth, so to speak. Look at the churches that have been planted. I can show you lives saved, churches planted, my character's changed. I can show you my faith. You could see it. Now, he says in verse 19, you believe there is one God? And this would be an argument to those who think that just by making a profession, that you're okay with God, just because you make a profession, but your actions tell otherwise. He says, you believe that there is one God? You do well. He says, even the demons believe that. Even the devil, the demons believe there is one God. But they have a little bit more respect or a little bit more awe of God because it says, and tremble. Where the person who says, oh, I have faith, but they live like the devil. They have faith and live like the devil, and they have no conviction about the evil that they do. They don't think that what they're doing is wrong. Well, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I mentally assent to the things as far as what the Bible teaches. Yeah, I believe that stuff. But you don't live it. You don't practice it. You don't. Well, Jesus, he's all right with me. I'm all right with him. We're all right. Jesus is just all right with me. He says, hey, that mentality, that's not going to fly. That's not genuine faith. Devils believe, but they tremble because they know there's consequence. Their fate is sealed, and one day, on that day of judgment, they're going to suffer the consequences of their decision. And even Jesus said, hey, there's going to come a day where many are going to say, Lord, 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 Lord. He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. You had the right profession, but the wrong practice. You didn't practice what you professed. I'm not looking for professors. James, and one of the big ideas in the book of James is do not be hearers only, but doers. He says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And so now he uses another example. He uses Abraham. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? There was a time where God told Abraham to do something. Abraham had been walking with the Lord for some years. And God told Abraham to do something that was extremely difficult. But Abraham, in spite of how difficult it was, Abraham obeyed God. Abraham did what God said. I think that that's the main point. People of genuine faith obey God. I think that that, in a nutshell, is the big idea here. Abraham obeyed God. And he says in verse 22, do you see that faith was working together with his works? See, faith and works, they work together. They're not two separate things. And he says his faith was working with his works. It was all working together in harmony, in concert. And by works, faith was made perfect. In other words, his faith was established. It was complete by the things that he did. God said something. Because he was a person of genuine faith, he followed through with what God said and completed, or it was evidence that he had genuine faith. Okay. Now, some of us may think, well, what about Paul? Paul says, you know, that you're justified by faith alone, apart from... There are two different arguments. It's almost as if Paul is saying, listen, in order to be saved, you can't do anything. You can't be saved by anything you do, rather. Salvation is a gift from God. And the only way that a person can receive the gift of salvation is through faith in Christ. That's it. You can't do anything to earn it. Why? Because you and I are sinful. We miss the mark. None of us here on our best day can meet God's righteous requirements. And as a result of that, Christ came and he died on the cross. He died on the cross for our sins. And his death on the cross was the door, so to speak. Open the door, if you would. As many of you know this, but I'm just reminding you of things you already know. Open the door so that we can have a relationship with God the Father through faith in what Christ did. I can't do anything to earn that. And James is saying, now, if that faith is genuine, then that faith is going to work. That faith is going to produce something. You can't say you believe, and then there's no action to show that your profession is valid. So they complement each other. And in verse 23, he says, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friends of God, or the friend of God, rather. You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. In other words, the works validate that the faith is genuine. And then he also uses Rahab. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Here's another illustration, which we're not going to be able to get into. But there was a time when the children of Israel were going to go into the promised land and they were going to go and conquer. And word was getting around in the foreign country and where Rahab lived that the children of Israel were coming and how God was with them. And she believed. She was a harlot. She was a foreigner. And when she heard about God and when she heard about the children of Israel, she said that when they heard about it, their hearts melted. But something happened inside of her heart. And what happened inside of her heart was she believed the message that however it got to them, she believed that it was true and that God was the one who was behind them, and she was willing to go against her people, go against, you know, her country. She was willing to bring those foreigners, the ones that were going to be coming in, the Israelites, she was willing to allow the spies to come and stay with her and hide them from her own people. And the reason why she was willing to do that was because she believed that what the message was true, and God honored that faith. There was a change that took place, and so she acted on the message. And that's the illustration he uses. And so he says, for as the body without the spirit is dead. And he uses another example. Just like the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. I'm going to close with this. True faith, without which no one can please God, is not static. It acts upon what it believes. When we act upon God's word, it gives evidence of our faith. We act because we trust in God who is and what he says. This sends a message to people around us that we mean what we say when we tell them that we love God. This lifestyle of trusting God shapes our witness to those around us. Faith is not just saying that we trust God. It is proving it by the way we live. It is seen, not just heard. Hey, I hope that tonight's message helps some of you. And I wonder, how many of you may be in a situation now where God is asking you to move. God is asking you to move to action. Are you going to obey him? Maybe there's an area in your life. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's within your family, your children. Maybe it's in the workplace. Maybe it's with your neighbor. And your faith is being challenged. And God has been working in your heart, and you still haven't made the choice to obey him. Hey, that can impair you. That can set you back. That can hurt you spiritually. As a child of God, if your faith is being challenged, the best thing for you to do is not just sit there and do nothing. The best thing for you to do is obey God. You won't regret it. It might be hard initially, but nothing but fruit will come out of your obedience today. If you do things God's way, no matter how hard it might be. But if you put off doing God's will and you disobey, those consequences of your disobedience could be much, they could last over a long period of time where you'll be reaping the consequences of your disobedience today. So my friends, if you're in a position where you're being challenged and you're leaning towards not obeying God, let me warn you. Don't make a mistake. James at one point said, "Oh, foolish man," hey, don't be a foolish man. Obey God's will, obey God's word. Make sure that your faith is action. Make sure that your faith demonstrates by your actions that you truly have genuine faith. And Father, we thank you for this time that we were able to go through these scriptures. I pray, God, that you would continue to encourage us to do what's right in your sight by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, and we thank you for giving us your word that challenges us, that helps us to understand the truth concerning genuine faith and how to identify it. And we give you all glory and honor, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.